And I think what that speaks to, again, is the importance of accurate and complete benefit and risk communication with respect to vaccination. We also heard from Dr. Monique Landry in Quebec about their experience with their two-cohort. I think they're the only other jurisdiction with a two-cohort program in the country, with both a grade 4 and a grade 9 program. But they also offered the vaccine to girls aged 15 to 17 years old in the first year of their program. And they've had very high rates of uptake in their first year, with 84% in grade 4, 87% in grade 9, and about 40% in 15 to 17-year-olds. They conducted extensive program rollout planning. It sounded like a huge amount of work. And engaged with healthcare providers and professional societies, but also attributed some of their success to cultural and attitudinal differences. We then switched to a discussion and presentations related to First Nations issues, and we heard from Dr. Pamela Orr about vaccine-preventable diseases in First Nations, including substantial data gaps in our knowledge about the incidence of vaccine-preventable diseases in Aboriginal compared to non-Aboriginal people, but also the importance of having better data because there are recognized differences in the immune response between First Nations and non-First Nations people. And the diseases that she specifically highlighted were invasive pneumococcal disease and an increase in serotype 1 disease in northern Aboriginal communities, which we'll have to monitor as well in British Columbia, pertussis, Haemophilus influenza type A, which is also on the increase in the north, RSV, and cervical cancer, as well as influenza. She emphasized the importance of using available strategies, but also identifying new strategies, including the use of the new multivalent conjugate pneumococcal vaccines in these populations. And she also highlighted the need for developing processes to conduct appropriate vaccine-related research in First Nations populations. We then heard from Evan Adams about the determinants of health for Aboriginal peoples and the issues related to inequities in access to wealth and health. We heard that 50% of First Nations people in British Columbia are under the age of 25, and that they have higher infant mortality rates and higher rates of alcohol-related deaths, and that there are a number of transformative changes that are going to be taking place, have been taking place over a number of years, but will continue to take place as we try to integrate our programs between First Nations and non-First Nations. And then Gail Pikikud gave us a presentation about integration between health authorities, First Nations, and First Nations and Inuit Health, spoke about the importance of professional development for First Nations nurses in order to level the playing field, and gave us some examples of professional practice guidelines that have been developed related to reportable disease management and exchange of information that are going to be important in sort of setting the stage for further progress in this area. I'd like to turn back to the legal issue. I explained to Paul Hasselbeck, who, as you may know, is active in Health Officers Council and National Society for Community Medicine and various other sort of political activist groups, and he's very used to writing resolutions. And because this was discussed at a... Okay, I typed it out, and I'm going to have to read it to you. But let me tell you that the effect was something like, be it resolved that this Forum on Immunization recommends to the Ministers of Health that they confer or interface with the Minister of Education in order to clarify the ambiguities that exist in the interpretation of the existing provisions around access to school pupil records, access to space for the provision of public health services in schools, and also the administration of the Infant Act, i.e. the mature minor consent process, in school-based settings. And he's asked me to I guess, put this recommendation forward from the Forum on Immunization in 2009. And so we're a little United Nations Congress here all of a sudden. And so I told him that I would take a vote with the remaining participants this afternoon. I think the simple question to ask is there anyone who's not familiar with this issue, who doesn't feel comfortable in us putting it forward, and are there any objections? And if not, then I would proceed, and I would send a copy to him as well, and he can take it through Health Officers Council, which I think is another appropriate venue for that recommendation to come forward. Fiona, do you see any concerns with this? No? It was basically a resolution to ask the ministry to take some action in this area. I think the feeling was they're trying, at the local level, for the local health authority to work with local schools or local school boards when the school boards actually want some clarity on this, because they want to make sure that they're doing the right thing, and that right now it's sufficiently ambiguous, the detail of what they shall provide in order to enable this process, that it's worthwhile being more prescriptive in this area. And whether that's done through a policy or a clarification of the intent of the law process or an actual detailed regulation, I guess that's something for a discussion within the provincial government. So are people okay with that in general? So as a mass, we can... Good, okay, great. And then I have one slide, I hope, to put up. And just lest anyone leave the room being ambiguous about our approach to recommending especially influenza vaccination, because there were, I think, some questions voiced about whether with the gaps in effectiveness of this vaccine, we should in fact even be recommending it. This comes from Scott Halperin's paper on how to speak to the uncertain or unwilling or difficult parent about immunization of their children, but it applies equally well, I think, to adult vaccination, and that is to understand the issues that the individual has about being vaccinated, recognize legitimate concerns, refute misinformation that they may have, provide valid information, recognize that ultimately it's their decision to be vaccinated, unless they're at Virginia Mason, to educate them about the potential consequences of not being vaccinated and being vaccinated. But then number 8 here being the most important, which is to make a clear recommendation about what you as their healthcare provider recommend. And we have lots and lots of research that shows that the recommendation from a healthcare provider, be it a public health nurse or a physician, is one of the most influential factors in an individual's decision to be vaccinated. And we hope that if we don't run out of money, we'll be able to do something like this every year. And then finally, I'd like to thank again the BC Immunization Subcommittee for sponsoring and certainly for being the organizing body for contributing members to our planning committee for this. I'd like to thank all of our speakers, many of whom are no longer here, but they did a tremendous job and were really the key factor that made this such a successful event. Our facilitators and our moderators and the support staff that I referred to yesterday, Jeannie Overy and Esther Cummings.
I brought you flowers.
Thank you. Support staff. Great. Are they here?
They are.
Great. There they are.
Uh-huh. And Katie Duncan.
And please. Katie Duncan, too. So please come up. And so Jeannie Overy and Esther Cummings are the two ladies that you've seen at the registration desk who've pointed you in the right direction every day. And also Katie Duncan, who is our science co-op student from UBC, who's spending the summer with us and who was roped into assisting with the on-site activities and the planning that happened this week. So thank you very much.
They've been here. Can I also interrupt to give you some flowers, too? Thank you so much for all of your hard work. What an excellent conference.
Thank you very much. And, of course, most importantly, thank you, the participants, for signing up and for being here and for your interest and your questions. And I hope you have safe travel back home and wish you a nice weekend. Thank you.